Alright, let's just continue. Father, we pray and receive in this service that you grant to us insight, illumination into your word. Father, we ask for clarity even in the details, the minutest details this afternoon. Let every heart see the work of soul winning, not just like an activity, but as a responsibility that is due for every son of God. Thank you, Father, for opening our eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, we continue on the heart and practice of soul winning. I will just go over some things I said in the first service. Daniel 12:3. Be our first text. Daniel 12:3. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And we said the stars of Christianity, those who shine in Christianity, are not business moguls, they are not owners of conglomerates, they are not heavy scientists, so there's nothing wrong in that. They are not athletes, they are those that preach the gospel, those that make others, by the virtue of preaching, make them believe the gospel of Christ. Never forget that. And I said in the first service that one of the characteristics of a soul winner is that he is a responsible Christian. Those who don't win souls, apart from the fact that they are irresponsible, they don't want to be responsible. Soul winners have caution. There are things they don't do. Those who disciple others, there are things they don't do anymore. If you're someone who leads others to Christ, something as basic as how you dress, you begin to think. Am I making sense? You think about it. About how you dress. In fact, the kind of, as personal as this choice is, you think twice. The person you want to marry. Not just that, how you go about it. Because you know that there are people that are looking up to you in the Lord. And more so, you know, you are preaching a message that must not be scandalized by your attitude, by your conduct. 2 Corinthians 6:3, Paul says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. So you are cautious. There are things you don't do. There are things, you know, I'm not talking about sin. There are things you just don't do because of that responsibility that is upon you. You won't find a soul winner say, it's my life, leave me alone. That's not a soul winner. You won't find a soul winner say things like, that is my personal business. Nope. You won't find a soul winner say, I don't, whatever I like, I do. I don't care what anybody says. A soul winner doesn't say that. Actually, a soul winner must care. That is why he's a soul winner. He must care. He must care for others. We look at a couple of things. And you know, in the first service, we examined a bit of that. And I remember that I went through the work of the Holy Spirit. Can you remember in the first service? The work of the Holy Spirit. That your work is to preach. The convincing work is that of the Holy Spirit. And I took you through the book of Hebrews. All the letters. Letters via. All those ones are words that the Holy Spirit will use to convince the heart of the unsaved. Interestingly, people use it for Christians, but it's not for Christians. Let us fear lest the rest left of us, any of you should seem to come short of it. For the gospel was preached unto them as well as unto them, but was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Do you understand? And in that is appealing. He's not talking to believers. Because the next verse says, with our belief, we have entered. So, verse 3 and verse 2 can't be addressing the same audience. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So there were evangelistic terms. There's an evangelist in the book of Hebrews. When it says, if we sin willfully after we had received the knowledge, that is an evangelistic sermon. That is, after you have heard this message, You now decide not to believe it. There is no sacrifice for sin. Why did he say that? Because in chapter 10, he had already laid a solid foundation of one sacrifice. So that is an evangelistic sermon. But then don't forget, like we looked at in Hebrews 3, from verse 7, down to verse 12-11, and we said that that was the Spirit's appeal. So the Holy Spirit, just like John 16:9, will convince the world of sin, but he will convince the world by your preaching. So you are a co-laborer. You are a co-laborer. You are a co-laborer. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Romans 10:13 says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He now says, how shall they call on him who they have not believed? So how can they hear? How shall they hear? How can they believe except they hear? How can they hear except someone should what? Preach. Except there is a preacher. So we said that who is the preacher? You and I, we are the preacher. And I said, how shall they, plural, hear except a preacher? Preacher, singular. That means a single person should be responsible for more than one person. Are you following what I'm saying here? So that's a responsibility on us. And I'm convinced that one of the ways to avoid false conversions is to do one-on-one evangelism. One of the ways, because there are a lot of false conversions. People go for crusade and they come out. I remember, I don't want to give you facts, but they just come out. They just come out. No. It's one-on-one evangelism. And we said, do not lead anybody to say anything. Can you remember that? Aha. The Bible says, with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, the man will say with his mouth what he believes in his heart. And go and look at the book of Acts. There was no united confession. People said different things. But everything was in agreement with the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. He died for our sins. So it's important that you don't goad people into saying something. And you know, that's something that has come with the church growth thing. You know, we want to have church growth so quickly. Somebody who has not believed, you tell him he's now a believer. You are the one that is telling him. You are now a Christian. You are now born again. You say, hey. And he knows he has not believed. But you made him say the confession. A confession is homologia in the Greek. It means to say with the mouth what you believe in the heart. It's not just to be repeating like a parrot. Confession is to say with the mouth what you believe in the heart. If you say with the mouth what you don't believe in your heart, that is not a confession. It's only a confession when you've actually believed in your heart. And then say with your mouth. And what do you believe? You believe the gospel of Christ. So don't let's forget that angle. We sorted that in earlier on. Yours is to step out and preach. Don't do the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't try and make people see something so well. I'm not saying you shouldn't argue issues. You should. But know that you are only giving words for the Holy Spirit to use in the hearts of men. You cannot get a man saved. You can only preach for the man to believe. Is that very clear? The work of salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit. The new birth is to be born of the Spirit. It's not born by kneeling down or shouting out. It's to be born by the Spirit. That is why some people are very strong on the kind of gospel that is going around. Because if you have a false gospel, you can't have true conversion. The gospel has to be true. If you say, come and you have been having problems in the last 1 year, you've lost your home, you've lost your job, you've lost, come and meet Jesus. That is not salvation. Inasmuch as Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, truly, truly meets people's needs, that is not salvation. And I was clear in the book of Acts, in the four gospels, where people receive miracles from Jesus, but they refuse to believe the gospel. So you mustn't mix them. Am I making any sense here? In soul winning, you must make sure your words are the very words of Scripture. I'm not saying you should quote the Bible, but what you are saying are the words of Scripture. Like I also said earlier on, sometimes people can believe immediately, sometimes they don't have to believe immediately. In Acts 17, the Berean Christians, as we popularly call them, the Bible says, Paul, when he preached to them, they went back and searched the Scriptures, whether those things were so. Now, that didn't happen immediately. That happened over time. And that searching that they were doing is the work of what? The Holy Spirit. He prompted them to keep searching, to check. Their heart was burning as Paul preached the gospel to them. So your role and your responsibility is to put the word of God out. The Holy Spirit is the one that convinces. The Holy Spirit is the one that baptizes men into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13. The new birth is his responsibility. The washing of regeneration by the Holy Ghost, Titus 3:5, is his responsibility. John 3:3-6-7 is his work. Being born of the Spirit. So don't ever forget that. Is that clear? Now go to Psalm 67. I'm thankful that many of you remembered a key aspect of the Soul Winners Conference held yesterday was that the initiative is yours. Psalm 67. The initiative is your own. Let me say this. Let me add this. Never make soul winning a church activity. Let soul winning be a personal conviction for you. You know, there's some folks like that. They will win souls if they're in a church that does it. Now, if they now go to a place that they don't do it, they won't do it again. It was never born out of conviction. It's the same way serving the Lord. You can act like you're committed to the gospel because they gave you a responsibility. Maybe they gave you a post in church. You know, I called someone and I said, okay, you were a pastor, so and so, but you left. You now came to Lagos. I said, now, you are not as committed as you were there. I said, why? Does it mean that it was that push that was driving you to do what you were doing? It shouldn't be. It should be a personal commitment. Like I often tell many of you, you don't need a position in church to be an effective Christian minister. At all. At all. At all, at all. All you need to do is to take upon this responsibility God has given to you and then reach out to the lost. You don't need a position. Look at Psalm 67 verse 2. The King James says that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Previous verse, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. I know we quote the B part a lot. But let me read the TLB version. Living Bible. Living Bible says, send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for mankind. And that's a better translation. Send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for mankind. That is a prophet speaking about evangelism in the Old Testament. The Greek word there, the Hebrew word of the word health, saving health, is the word Yeshua. The same word for Jesus. Yeshua. It's used 77 times. In the same word, he will save his people from their sins, Matthew 1:21. So in other words, the prophet had prophesied world evangelism. Send us around the world with the news of salvation through faith in Christ. It now says that everyone may know your eternal plan. Hallelujah. So, going how to preach the gospel had been prophesied, just like Daniel 12:3. And Jesus fulfilled it. Are you there? In Mark 16. So when Jesus was saying, go into all the world, what was he doing? He was fulfilling prophecy. Go into all the world, Mark 16:15, and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28, verse 18. All power is given me in heaven and earth. Go therefore. He sends out. So, by scriptures of the prophets, confront with the words of Jesus, and our responsibility in the epistles, it is clear to us that when a believer is not engaging in this, he is not just irresponsible, he is a disobedient Christian. Send us. Now, do we need to quote this verse again? No, he has already sent us. He has sent us. And the previous verse says that he will cause his face to shine upon us. So again, look at the word shine. He's relating the light of God upon the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Christ. Are you still there? In Matthew 9, you know, we don't quote that verse again for ourselves. Right? He sent us. That was a prophetic inquiry, a prophetic inclination, a prophetic statement that has already been fulfilled. So, how do we read that verse today? He has sent us around the world, right? With the news of his saving power and his eternal plan for mankind. Say, I've been sent. That's what I say, I've been sent. You've been sent already. So your life is a fulfillment of prophecy. Your life is a fulfillment of prophecy. Look at Matthew 9. Here's Jesus. The Bible says in verse 35, and I want you to observe this. I want you to take note of this. And he went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So, let's start like this. Jesus was preaching and teaching, and was healing the sick. Now, that looks fantastic already, because it means that Jesus had a mega church. A lot of people were coming. Multitude were around him. But look at the next verse. But when he saw the multitudes, notice what he saw. He saw multitudes who came to him. He didn't see the multitude elsewhere. He now says, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having what? No shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I want you to follow this thing. This thing very well. Now, I know this verse is a scriptural prayer verse. You know, let's pray the Lord of the harvest. But if you observe very well, every time we use this verse in this church to pray, it is in areas where we are not. Are you there? You know why? Because you can't pray. Look at the sequence. The first thing was that he saw multitudes. Then he was moved with compassion. That's okay. That they were sheep having no shepherd. Said the harvest is plenteous, but laborers are few. Now pray the Lord of the harvest, or better still, request for the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. I think Amplified says force out, because that's how it sounds. As he said that, do you know they didn't pray? He called the 12, the people he talks to. You know, he didn't pray about it. The same people he was now called them, and he now sent them. So, what has happened? The Lord of the harvest has sent them. They didn't have a prayer meeting, no. He just called the 12 immediately. Hallelujah. So, your first role in evangelism is not to pray for people. Prayer is here to get somebody saved. Say, pray, Lord, touch his heart. Give me scripture and verse. 3 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. The first rule is to go. Now, when I cannot go, or where somewhere I can't go, for whatever reasons, I will now take this as a point of prayer. Do you understand what I just said now? Imagine if sales committee Yaba is praying the Lord of the harvest to send for a liberal to Yaba. You know, we are just as confused men. What sales committee Yaba will have to do is to go and preach. And I can't hear Lord's one says it. He said, as we are praying for the lost, they are going to hell. The more you pray like this, the more they are going to hell. Prayer is yet to save someone. Prayer can save someone. Prayer can create circumstances for people to hear the gospel, but prayer cannot save anybody. Is that very clear? How can they call on him whom they have not heard? How can they, some that have not believed, how can they believe one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without prayer? Eh? Without a church. Without a preacher. Go into all the world and pray the gospel for every creature. Nope. What do? Preach. Hallelujah. So that's important that we note. So let's ask a few important questions, and I think that's what this session is about. What does evangelism mean to Jesus? You know, there are things we celebrate a lot. I will be surprised that they don't matter. You know, that it has not a single, it has no single significance spiritually. You know, a guy came to Jesus and Jesus said, let's follow me. And the fellow said, I'm going to bury my father. If it was Africa, say, sorry, don't not come. Say, don't bother. No. I didn't know. Quickly. Have you seen the family? Have you? You know, that's. It looks compassionate. Hey, yeah. How old was he? Oh, 85. That's right. Tried. Just let us know the arrangement. We'll come to. Abi Peter, John. He said, "Let the dead bury the dead." That's very callous. Look at where his focus was. You have thought that those are the things that will move Jesus. No. What does evangelism mean to him? Look at, we're going to read five texts of scripture. Look at Luke 7. There's some things we say in the body of Christ, so it makes me laugh. I remember I was telling a brother who was telling me, we were in university then, he said, man, if you're looking for people that are spiritual, that brother is spiritual. I said, what about you? I mean, how can you say another Christian is prayerful? Are you not ashamed of yourself? That brother is prayerful. What about you? Prayerfulish. That brother knows the word. So you know the word. There are some things you don't see. It's a sign of carnality. If you see someone who is prayerful, you are seeing the kind of Christian you should be. Nobody is in you. Don't become a fan of a prayerful Christian. Oh yeah. That brother is prayerful. That sister is prayerful. That brother knows the word. That brother walks in love. See what you are doing. You know that. That means at the judgment seat of Christ, you are saying, it should inspire you that this is the kind of Christian I should be. Are you there? What does evangelism mean to Jesus?
Luke 7. Evangelism and reaching the unsaved to Jesus meant he didn't send for PR. He didn't understand what people said about him. I know folks who won't go out and preach because of the kind of status they have in the society. One guy said, you know, when I was, the wife brought, no. Well, I met him twice, but the wife came around years back, you know, for counseling and all that. And they had issues of having children for a while. And then we believed God, and, you know, the wife conceived. So, but before then, the guy said, he's checking his life. That there are some things he used to do when he was a much younger Christian. That then, before he passed his ICAN, he used to, no, ACC or something. He used to, which one did they do? No, ACC. It used to be popular then. I think it's no more. Something, CISP or something. That was then. I mean, the guy said before he passed it, that he used to do both evangelism, that he used to do this one, but now, you know, he's just looking for how to, because of his new status, how to go about it. And I said, sir, it was in his house, I said, you know what? You don't have to do evangelism to have a child, okay? Don't think I'm saying this so that it's a precondition, a prerequisite for your wife to conceive. We have believed God, your wife will conceive. That's a different ballgame. He said, no, he's just saying that there's some things in his life you have to put together. I said, There are two unrelated issues. Having children and doing evangelism, they don't meet in any route. They don't have a relationship. They have never had and they will never have. Separate it. So, but however, come, what is this thing about your new status? I know he's just looking at now because his commitments, his office status, we are, how can I now go back into bus and now going on the road? You know, he's just thinking, and he was the treasurer of a bank, major bank in Nigeria. So how can I, you know, now be going out? So I think rather than preach, I'll just say, hey boys, you know, you just park your G-Wagon. Hey boys. So he now sees himself as a philanthropist. You know, some people have replaced evangelism with giving out Indomie. It's a backsliding status. I said, sir, this was what I told him. I said, I'm not wishing you bad things. But if Mr. Thief collects that car, will you not walk? Will you even run? So I can do with the car. Park the car at home. Do you sleep with the car? Park the car at home and walk. Go to the same places. And if it's a passion, it's a passion. If it's a conviction, it's a conviction. So if you say, when you go to the US, it's difficult, it's a lie. There is a lie. It's because you don't have conviction. The same things that, I told you about a friend of mine who is a pilot of one of these major airlines. At least once a month, he goes out for crusade. Once. It will be break, he will go crusade. Not crusade of a sponsor too. He will go into villages. I will say, for everything you think you can't do, you see somebody else who does it. I'm not a mother. If you like, be a grandmother. There are people just like you who are doing what you say you don't have time for. There are very influential people as well, whose wealth, okay, makes your own, whose change makes your savings. I don't want to finish it. And they go out on evangelism. There are people older than you. If you think it's your age. Ancient times. There are people older than you who go out on evangelism. If it's education. There are professors. There was a man like that who hosted us when we pastored in Ibadan. Then, The man is late now. He was an emeritus professor of physics, Professor Muiwawe.
I mean, he was on the level of Wole Soyinka. I mean, he's if you know who I'm talking about, he's internationally known. He used to go for evangelism. Agbowo, he will go down, he go for missionary trip. So, say anything. There's somebody who has the same status or even better, who is doing exactly what you are avoiding. So the problem you have is a conviction issue. So I said, what does evangelism mean to Jesus? Luke 7. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he will eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet. Now, the woman came to Jesus, and Jesus, in spite of what they will say, look at what they will say, in verse 39, this man, if were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. Evangelism takes you to even the dregs of a society, those that are rejected. Jesus welcomed them. Evangelism to Jesus means no public image to protect. Are we together here? None. Evangelism to Jesus means that you will not be saying, but it's me. I mean, how can I be found, you know, and all that. Mm-mm. It means that you will talk to area boys. There's always told me about that. The only person will say, Let me say, I'll say it to you, but I'll say it in English. You don't know what I have done with my life. You know this guy who went to put in, have you killed someone before? Say, I just killed them. Yeah, at that point you say, you are a high level sinner. No. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Evangelism means to Jesus, no PR. It means you will welcome anybody, no matter their social status, no matter what is seen around them, no matter how people look at them. Is that what it means? Evangelism to Jesus means you will not discriminate. You know, some of us have messages tailored for those raised in Christian homes. It's just like, you know, you are not telling for those who don't sing, who have high level immorality, not dwelling in their lives, but perpetually living there. You don't have a sermon that can reach out to a Muslim. Yeah, I guess I'm a Muslim. Say, hey. Evangelism to Jesus means there is no discrimination. Hallelujah. No discrimination. And that's how the church of God should be. A church should be where young, old, great and small, rich, everybody should meet. Everybody. So you see, in our local church, we don't record who you are. If you like, be a chief, high chief. Either you're a brother, you're a sister, you're a pastor, or you are not known. Brother, sister, you won't find out call anybody doctor. We have many doctors here. Maybe without doing it, some of you know who the doctors are. We have doctors, we have lawyers, we have different kind of people here. We have lecturers, we have people. But you say, no. In Christ, we all meet, and we're all the same. Remember somebody, we had a meeting, and the director of a multinational came to the meeting, and he now said to me, I said, why should you sit with the pastors? As what? Give him a seat there. So I said, but the guy can be given to your ministry. That's why you sit in front. Ministry call. Mystery. Rubbish. You don't do that. In evangelism, there's no discrimination. At all. You don't discriminate. You know what I mean? Luke 19. Are you following this? What does evangelism mean to Jesus? Luke 19. Jesus saw a man by the name of Zacchaeus, and the Bible says that when Jesus came to the place in verse 5, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide in your house. Jesus went to the house of a man. No, not that one. The woman came to him. This one is now going to the house of someone who has a bad public record. And so, some of us don't know. I remember Reverend DME, what's his name again? Bethel, what's his first name? Is it Gabriel DME? He once shared this story, and I was there, that he went to a particular Nigerian that I know. The man was on the deathbed that I know. He said he just was led to go to fly to London. And this man, I don't want to mention names, said he went to his bed and led the man to Christ. I mean, he's a man that people, even me, I will pray before I preach to him. Not preach and pray. You know, when you preach, not pray. No. Pray first before you preach. He said he just was led. Just went to his place. Evangelism means you will go to people. Even people that ordinarily everyone will say, this one. Evangelism meant to Jesus, you will go there. Time, go to your house. Jesus stepped into the man's house, as usual, Facebook post. Whatever. Jesus found in Zacchaeus' house. What do you think? Breaking news. The renowned gospel preacher and faith healer, Jesus Joseph, popularly known as Christ, was yesterday found in the house of the famed, fraudulent chief, you know what is a Nigerian, chief doctor, professor Zacchaeus. Chairman is the chief executive of Zacchaeus group of companies who have nothing in particular that they do. As they saw it, look at verse 7. They all murmured that he had gone to the guest with a man that is a sinner. That is, you know, it should pass us up again. Look at verse 9. What Jesus said, this day is salvation come to thy house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the son of man, let's take verse 10 together, is come to seek and to save that. Salvation to evangelism to Jesus means you will go and seek for. That you will be looking for people who are lost. What does evangelism mean to Jesus? You will look for those who have not been saved. Who are not saved. Go to Luke 15. What does evangelism mean to Jesus? Luke 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. That is, as Jesus was preaching, respected sinners, highly renowned sinners, were showing up. As they were showing up, again, the third time, the Pharisees Christ was saying, again, let's read the verse together, this man receives our thoughts. You know, it's now two occasions Jesus is eating with them. A great man of God must not be found eating. You just take a picture. I know it's not like in the house of Zacchaeus that they were serving Fanta. Or Zubo. I think it would be a proper feast. Not like the wedding at Cana. I'm not sure that they just gave out Eva water. That wine, so I would say it's fruit wine. I can't imagine. Don't joke now. It's not fruit wine. It's wine. Leave it at that. Okay? But Jesus was found there. And look at what it meant to him. You can't win souls that you don't see. You don't go to. Look at this. He now spoke a parable and gave two illustrations. Then a major one. So what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goes after that which is lost till he finds it? Evangelism to Jesus is like a sheep lost in a sheepfold. The way the shepherd will go after that one is what evangelism means to Jesus. Notice what he says. He said he will leave every member of this Karate Church, amen, including the pastor, to go after one. You know what? He just look at you and say, our church, in a place of 100 people, our church has 99 members. We have fulfilled the will of God. He said, he will have the 99 that do not need salvation. He will go after one. Evangelism to Jesus means that one soul is as important. Just one. He said he will leave the 99 and go. Now look at what he says in verse. I want us to read verse 7 together. Everybody, let's go. I say unto you, everyone, come on, let's read it together. Say unto you, that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over than. So look, what is the greatest joy in scripture? The joy of salvation. The greatest joy is glory! Glory! I'm sitting in Christ! Hallelujah! Glory! Glory! The money will come! Glory to God! I'm healing my body! So the greatest joy is for that guy, that girl, that man, that woman to accept the gospel. Notice how it is that there is more. So that means there's priority. So every emphasis is important that we grow spiritually, we know the word, we say, oh, glory to God. What is the Greek word for soul winning? Is nephesh kalatustis is important. But you see, heaven is more particular about someone receiving the gospel. There is more. So there is more. Look at the next illustration. So, Jesus, evangelism to Jesus is the way a sheep is to a shepherd. Look at another illustration. Even that, what woman, having 10 pounds of silver, if she lose one piece, just one, does not light a candle and sweep the house. And what does she do? She seeks diligently till she finds it. Diligently. It's not half-hearted. Just going. Hello? Do you know Jesus? You know him. You don't know him. Why don't you know him? Where have you been? Do you want to know him? Okay. Say after me. Jesus, I bring you my heart. Where's your name? What is your name? I want so. Or someone says, please know your name. I should leave you. The guy is going, yeah, I don't want, for now, I don't want to hear anything. And you don't want to, why now? The guy is going, why now? You just don't want to hear anything. Okay. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, and cause you to share. He will seek diligently till he finds it. If I don't have to Jesus, it's like losing a pearl, a gold pearl, expensive, and ensuring that you find it. Again in verse 6:10, he repeats it. I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repents. If I go to Jesus, is also the story of that prodigal son. That the father that went away, and there was so great joy on the father when he came back. Jesus was not talking about you and God. He was telling you how important it was for him to reach out to the unsaved. Just the same way a father will not be at rest till his son comes home. Evangelism to Jesus means that the person you are talking to is precious and important. John 3:16, for God so loved the world
that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life. Evangelism to Jesus means to see the unsaved as valuable before God. It means to value people. Let me say the way I wrote in my notes. I said evangelism means to see God's plan and purpose as tied to the salvation of mankind. So evangelism is to see, why did Jesus come? We said this many times in our services. Did Jesus come to change any nation's economy? Huh? Did he even come to heal the sick? Even though he came and he healed the sick. Did Jesus come to make people marry? Talk now. Did Jesus come to make people have children? No. He came so that men will be saved. So that's the reason for taking a note. Evangelism means everything to Jesus. Everything. So keep saying, Jesus, the Son of God, I believe, I love you, more than my money, I love you. I really go by going to marry, I have 4 weddings, 1 burial, 6 engagements, and 10 introductions tomorrow. And these are very precious to me. Is there another no free day? Does we go tomorrow? No, we'll go yesterday. Evangelism means the whole world to Jesus. What does evangelism mean to the church? Evangelism, therefore, will mean the demonstration of our relationship with Jesus. Your burden for the unsaved will let us know how close you are with Jesus in your relationship with him. How you see salvation of souls is a reflection of how much of Jesus you know. Look at the book of Acts. In Acts 2, Acts 3, call over time, we can't go through, we'll be there earlier. Acts 5, Acts 6 and 7, Acts 8, 9, 10, 11, just read on. That church age was characterized by a consistent soul winning. Hallelujah. So it's a misnomer for a church to have evangelism departments. Except that department is to be teaching every believer in that church how to do evangelism. It's a total misnomer. It's just like having a believer's department or a Christian's department or have a prayer unit. It's like saying, let's have a Christian's unit. Every Christian must be involved in praying in the local church and involved in evangelism. If Jesus is our head and we are his body, how else do we carry out that relationship but evangelism? What does evangelism mean to the body of Christ? It means we are the body of Christ. And he is our head. Let me see if I follow what I'm saying. Is it very clear to you? It means we are the body of Christ and he's our head. His overwhelming mandate is that the lost should be reached. I like how Brother Higgins says it. The lost should be reached at any cost. Hallelujah. Let me cancel this for example. Let me talk about, we are year conscious. You can say 2017. Let me make a new year resolution. Whether it's resolution or revelation or revolution. Just add this to your revolution or resolution. ensure basic things that on a daily basis you study God's word and you pray. When those things are under your control, right? Am I right? On a daily basis, you study God's word and you pray. Also, in your resolution, make sure that you say, a week, I will go out and preach the gospel at least once or twice. And in praying, the prayer I'm talking about is not praying over your food, though. Bless this food, O Lord, for Christ's sake, amen. Because the God minus devil, no. It's praying in the spirit at least 1 hour. In the morning, 1 hour in the evening. Simple, simple things. Now, also, make a commitment to use your money to support evangelism. Use your money to support your local church. Use your money to support your pastor and leaders. And let me add this, don't forget this. Use your money to support Christians who are in need. There was something I put out on Facebook about someone who was needed an operation. And someone said, divine healing in Jesus' name. Is there anybody here that does not believe in divine healing? Take care of it. People are just unserious. Some people are liking it. They don't drop a single dime. How can you be that heartless? Okay, 1,000. You can't say you don't have 1,000 and you're on Facebook. How did he get on Facebook? Is he working on miracles? Give to Christians. Give to orphans. Give to the needy. And lastly, if you are making any resolution, make sure that anybody that does not have these ideals in his life should not be found in your close circle of friends. Nobody. Let the person have been a Christian since the day of Pentecost. It doesn't matter. Let these things, because I always tell you, man is a product of influence. Whatever is around you will eventually get into you. So you must keep those kind of things away from you. Am I making sense here? What does evangelism mean to the unsaved? Now we are taking what evangelism means to Jesus. Now whatever it means to Jesus, it must mean to who? The church. Good. So what does it mean to the unsaved? Romans 10:17. Faith is by hearing the gospel. Evangelism to the unsaved means an opportunity to believe the gospel. And you can create that opportunity as many times over. Evangelism to the unsaved means, look at 2 Corinthians 4. We'll take this one together. 2 Corinthians 4. It means that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ will shine on him. Verse 4. Romans 10:4 says, he cannot call on someone he has not believed. He cannot believe on someone he has not heard. So, evangelism is the door of salvation to the unsaved. So every time you go to someone to preach to him, you are giving an opportunity to believe. Finally, what does evangelism mean to the devil? Now, look at that 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. I'll close on this one. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, Satan blinds people's minds with things like Islam, atheism, Jehovah's Witness, just a lot of these things, all these kind of things, are to blind people's minds from the gospel. Religions. One story about science here and there. Is there evolution? Is there a big bang? Is there intelligence? All those things are to blind his mind further.
But then, what does evangelism mean to the devil? We expose him. When you preach the gospel, you expose the devil. Because where light shines, darkness cannot comprehend it. Look at Acts 26. Evangelism destroys the works of the devil. How many of you trust in the power of the Holy Spirit in the gospel of Christ? I don't know about you. I trust the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's why I'll just keep preaching it. At the first attempt, the man may go, look at how Paul, how long it took him. But eventually, he got saved. Evangelism, I mean, I won't give up. I will assume that everybody that hears it once must believe. He doesn't believe, he must go to hell. No. I'll keep at it. Look at Acts 26. Verse 17. Delivering them, the dead from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send the letter, verse 18 together, to open their eyes and to turn from darkness to light, and the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith. What does it mean to the devil? We snatch men from his hands. Colossians 1:13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his own dear Son. For this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Evangelism means I'm destroying the works of darkness. Evangelism means I'm exposing Satan. Evangelism means that I am turning men from unrighteousness to righteousness. That's what it means to the devil. And so, we mustn't keep quiet. Hallelujah. We mustn't back down. We must give everything to it. That's why we cannot afford to use tricks to preach the gospel. Paul says, when I came unto you, 1 Corinthians 2:1, I came not in the excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to testimony of God, but I determined, verse 2, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. As much as my speech and my preaching was not drama, it was not comedy, it was not poetry, it was not trying to wow you by good speaking. My speech and my preaching was not trying to use science to talk to you. My speech and my preaching was not trying to use fiction to talk to you. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. I wasn't trying to use science, philosophy, psychology, no. But with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I believe in the gospel of Christ. I believe it is the power of God. I believe it is the only saving power. I believe all men have to hear the gospel. I believe every man has a right to hear the gospel. I am convinced about the gospel. I believe the gospel has been committed to me. And I am committed to the gospel. Hallelujah. Let's give our all to the gospel. 2017 beckons. Draw a plan and tell yourself how you will win souls throughout the year. It must be a plan. How you will make sure that anywhere you go to, business trip, academic trip, career trip, holiday trip, NYSE, whatever it is, that the gospel will be preached. Send us around the world with the news of your saving power and eternal plan of salvation for mankind. He has sent us already, and we will go. Hallelujah. Today is 25th December 2016. The Bible called Christmas Day. For all it takes, because many people in their minds are thinking about Jesus, we can take advantage of today. Hallelujah. 1 hour today, this evening, just talk to someone. Just go out of your street. Oh, what is it about Christmas? Engage someone in the conversation. If you know how to invite people for a party, birthday party, so I do the way you raise disciples for MMM. I don't want to just start giving word of knowledge. Some of us, the way we get friend requests on Facebook, the way you get requests on Instagram, you know how to preach, you've just not been preaching. You know how to call people for memorial service. Somebody that is dead and is very dead, you are celebrating a person. You know how to do it. You know how to tell people about someone who can repair his car for him. Have you? You know how to tell someone about it. This hair, man, there's a place I know you can make your hair. Is that not saying something? You are preaching. Your air ticket. I know someone. He knows how to get you cheap air tickets. You know how to do those things. How much more now? You have a message, the gospel of salvation, to preach. And you can do it. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. And make a commitment to the gospel.